We were gathered at a creek, and it's a small village buried in the Appalachian Mountains. Anybody up this morning at about 6:30 or 7 o'clock? It was cold, dry, but cold, and it was the first day of trout season. The reason that hundreds of children and their parents took them to that bridge and along those riverbanks where they stood shoulder to shoulder with hand warmers tucked into their shoes and their pockets and in their gloves and in their hats. The reason they were there with their fishing rods is because the State Fish and Game Commission had placed lots of trout, hundreds of trout, into those waters in the weeks preceding. And at 8 o'clock that morning, those kids were allowed, without a license, to throw their hook with a worm on it in the water to watch the magic happen. And some of those fish were big fish. I know, because I saw a girl catch a 2-foot fish. That's a big trout. She got it off the hook with her dad's help. She bear hugged it like a teddy bear, and she started to take it up the bank away from the creek. Of course, it slipped out of her arms. It flopped around down the bank as hundreds watched. And it was going into the waters, but her dad made a great kick save, if you know soccer or hockey. And the fish was restored, the trophy, back to the daughter's arms. Earlier that same morning, I had stood right about where she was with my two boys. They grow way too fast, don't they? I said to Mary Shevlin, hers are in college and beyond, and mine are in college and beyond, and we think of the days when they sang with the day school choir and the cherub choir. But there they were, my two boys, 4 and 8. Their younger sister was smart enough to be in the warm home with their mother, away from the trout stream. They were there, and they were waiting, freezing. No, not yet. No, not yet. No, not yet. Finally, a few kids start to throw their lures in the water, and the fishing has started, so my kids follow. Somebody up on the bridge says, and not very nicely either, "Hey, get them out of the water. It ain't 8 o'clock. As I say, we were deep in the Appalachian Mountains. So I said to the kids, "Come on, it's not 8 o'clock. So they're reeling back in. And all of the kids who had committed that evil crime now were removing their bait from the water. When, bang, in the middle of the creek, a big fish starts flopping and flapping and splashing in the water. Someone had landed a fish. "Come on, kids, get your hooks out of the water. You know, the State Fish and Game Commission will give you a pretty hefty fine, a couple $100 if you're fishing out of season." So, when Neil finally brought his hook out of the middle of the creek to his rod, guess where the fish was? On the end of his rod, in his net. And I took it off the hook, and with the eyes of the world on me, noticed it was 7:52. Splash, back in the water. Children and parents, the APC Fishing Derby is coming. Hold on. You've never seen so much excitement along the waters of Lake Windward. Jesus invited those first disciples who were fishermen. He invited them to come with him and fish other waters. "Leave your boat," he said. Leave your father, leave your lake. Come and follow me, and I can put your fishing skills to work, catching people with the love of God. Now, had they been farmers, what would Jesus have invited them to do? Probably, "Come with me, and I'll show you how to plant a bumper crop for the kingdom of God that will bear good fruit in the world." Had they been carpenters, what would he have said? "Bring your saws and hammers. Come with me. We will build the church, and it will prevail against the gates of hell." Had they been bakers or cooks, he probably would have said, "Come with me, and let's prepare a full table to offer the bread of life and the cup of salvation and celebrate the banquet of God providing for the needs of the people." But they were fishermen, so he said, "Come, fish with me for others." The way they learned how to fish with him is first they learned from him by following. The place faith starts is from responding to God's invitation and word to you and to grow in your understanding. One of the first things Jesus does after this passage is he sits down on the mountain and he teaches. We call it the Sermon on the Mount. Blessed are the poor in spirit. Blessed are the peacemakers. Blessed are the pure in heart. You shall be called children of God. You shall receive God's favor. And so being taught by Jesus is the way they follow him, learning about the love of God, just as on Day School Sunday we celebrate the teaching and nurturing ministry of the church. If you're not in a Bible study or in a Sunday school class or in some kind of circle group that reads a book and discusses, join one. Let that journey of discipleship continue and follow and be nurtured and grow in your understanding. Then, having instructed them, Jesus will send them out into all nations to baptize and make disciples and teach all as he commanded, so that indeed the nets of God would be full. How do people come to church? How is it that people get connected to church? How do you fish for people? For bass or for trout? It's lures, it's worms, it's hooks, it's nets. But how do you catch people? It seems to me that the very first thing that comes to mind is your own example and your own life and witness. Live with a sense of enthusiasm and let it be contagious so that others will want to come with you and experience what you know. I am not a big soccer fan. Soccer was illegal when I played high school football in this country. Things have warmed up since, and now there are more kids playing soccer than football. I don't know anything about soccer, but those Atlanta United fans are crazy. I mean, you see them on MARTA, you see their enthusiasm jumping up and down and waving flags and bless your heart and all of that stuff. And so when someone said, I've got tickets, do you want to come? Of course I want to come. I have to understand this whole thing. Let the enthusiasm be shared. Faith isn't so much taught as it's caught. How do we catch people? I think the best way is direct invitation. That's the method Jesus uses. He goes to people and he calls them by name. You. A survey was done by an organization called churchgrowth.org. And they wanted to know, how do people start on the path of faith? How do they get involved with church? It's not rocket science. You know what they found out? By far the number one answer, 86% said, a friend invited me to join them. My guess is the day school does a great job and is growing because we have a great day school and dedicated teachers and wonderful families and a great facility and supportive congregation. But you know why it's growing and doing so well? Mouth-to-mouth invitation. One person tells another person. It started long ago with four fishermen. We know their names. Today there are 2.4 billion Christians in the world. I think Jesus knew what he was doing. You, follow me. And as you follow, I will teach you how to invite others to join in as well. Fishermen are good at starting with empty nets and filling them. Fishermen are good at being patient, continuing to try and work, turning little into more and not enough into an abundance. God calls. We hear that invitation. We hear our names. We say yes and respond to the adventure. Roger Nishioko is a beloved speaker and teacher and writer. And he talks about growing up in the days of Mutual of Omaha's Wild Kingdom. Anybody remember that show? That show, if you've never heard of it, has been replaced by the Animal Planet, that channel. Roger said his family was never allowed to have the TV on when they ate dinner, with one exception, when Wild Kingdom was on TV. Then they were allowed to watch. He said, we looked at God's creativity and diversity and imagination in the natural world, whether it was the savannas of Kenya or the barrier reef of Australia or the jungles of Borneo. We watched with fascination, and the world just got so big. One episode, he says, I remember was about elephant seals in Argentina. The show focused on a mother seal and her pup, her little baby. And after giving birth, that mother seal was famished, and so she went off to swim in the waters off the beach. But she wasn't the only seal that did it. All of the mother seals had given birth in about the same time, and they all leave their pups, Roger said, he learned from this show, and they went off swimming and feeding, only to return to a different part of the beach. Well, how is mother and pup going to get reconnected? And so the show focused on one couple in particular. The camera followed the mother as she left her pup and then returned to a different part of the beach, listening for the response of her pup. Following each other's distinct voices and scents, soon mother and pup were reunited. Then the host of the show came on. What was his name? Marlon Perkins? The host of the show came on and said, from the moment of birth, the sound and the scent of the pup are imprinted on the mother's memory. And the sound and the scent of the mother are imprinted on the pup's memory. Roger said, we were just fascinated at this. And then looking for a teachable moment, as often they are, Dad said, now kids, you know that's how it is with God. When we're born, we're imprinted with a memory of God. And God is imprinted with a memory of us. And even if it takes us a lifetime to find each other, we will find each other. Long ago, Jesus started the search. And he was walking along the sea. And he called four persons by name. It was as if they were compelled when they heard their names. It's as if they had been waiting their whole lives to hear his voice offer that invitation. And they dropped their nets and they followed. What faith. What a calling. What an adventure. May we do the same. Because, friends, it's time for the fishing derby to begin. Amen.